Live on SEN Track. Welcome to Breakfast with the Kiwis. Kickstart your day of racing. Have breakfast with the Kiwis. Head to loveracing.nz.
Good morning. Welcome to Breakfast with the Kiwis. Jordan Canellis here with you ahead of a big weekend of racing around New Zealand. We are racing in Ellerslie and Riccarton. Riccarton Park this week as I welcome Butch Castles to the program, CEO of Waikato Thoroughbred Racing. Butch, what's on this weekend? How's things?
Yeah, good, thanks. Big day at Ellerslie. They've had some rain and some more rain predicted on the day, so that'll be interesting with the new Strathair track, how that copes. Be the first day likely to be wet and rain affected. Of course, we've got Waitak in the Quokka over in West Australia, so that'll certainly capture the New Zealanders' interest later in the day on Saturday, and a good day's racing at Riccarton Park with a number of black type events as well. So all in all, that should be a good Saturday.
The Ellerslie meeting, is it the time-honoured Manco Easter Handicap this weekend?
Yeah, it's the feature. The Manco Easter obviously doesn't run on Easter. It stays in its place in the calendar, which makes a lot of sense from the point of view of programming. And a nice enough field. We're going to chat with Tony Pike, who's got the well-fancied Rudyard in the race, who's come a long way this preparation.
Absolutely. Greg O'Connor will join us on the show a little later on. But as you said, our first guest is Tony Pike. He's here to chat about his runners this weekend. Morning to you, Tony. How's things?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, Pikey Butcher here. Let's go through them. You've certainly circled the wagons and had an attack on each and every one of the eight races at Ellerslie. And why wouldn't you? With plenty of money on offer, we'll go to race one. Not guilty. Well, she's a talented sprinting mare. She's got somewhere near the top of the race, but look, on her day, she's more than capable.
Yeah, she's probably going to head to stud next season, but she's done a great job for Connections and always goes well fresh. She's had a wee break and a bit of space in between runs will help her. Obviously, a bit of a tricky barrier. Just as you say, how that track's going to play tomorrow with the rain on it will be very interesting, but we'll probably look to go forward on her. She seems to be better in that role, and you know, she always runs well in a fresh state. If she brings her A game, then she's always a genuine winning chance.
Race number two, DiMaggio. He's an interesting animal, this one. He just loves Hawke's Bay, but like your good self, to be fair. He grows another leg when he goes to the Bay, but he will be at Ellerslie this weekend, and look, I didn't think it was the strongest rating 75 race in the world.
No, it's probably not the strongest race. He probably got tripped up by the tempo at his last start. His sectionals actually went too bad, even though he was well beaten. Yet to really perform right-handed, which is a bit of a query. We actually had penciled in a nice race at Hawke's Bay for him until they moved the meeting there next week. So, unfortunately, he's heading back to Ellerslie away from his favourite track, but another one with a sticky barrier. Probably going to need luck if he gets it. He's a rough place chance.
Race three, a stakes race. Very important for these two-year-olds and, of course, even more so for a two-year-old filly like Boss in High Heel. She's by Stallion of the Moment, Written Tycoon. Look, she was good on debut, over 1,050 metres. Up to the 1,200 metres, you wouldn't think that'd worry her. She's got a tricky draw, though.
Yeah, another one with a tricky draw. Started off poorly with the barrier draws, unfortunately. Filly we've always had in really high regard. She trialled well before her debut run at Matamata. We were very concerned about the track conditions that day. We had a heavy downpour just before the race, and it was quite testing. She's a lovely action filly and really would appreciate a good surface. So just how that Strathair plays tomorrow, if it races like a good surface, then she's in the race with a big chance. Obviously, that dicky gate, but she does have good gate speed. This is probably going to be her last run of the preparation, so I don't think we'll die wondering. We'll go forward, and she's a talented enough filly to take that out tomorrow.
Come back as a nice three-year-old filly, particularly maybe for those early races, the Hawke's Bay-style race?
Yeah, for sure. She's a filly that we've always, as I said, had in high regard, and she should only get better into a three-year-old season.
Another filly with plenty of ability is in race number four, and that is Wind of Change. She's a deep field filly. Look, she's only been to the races six times, a win, a couple of seconds, a third and a fourth. So she's oh so consistent. Most of them on good tracks, but she's drawn one, so your barrier draw situations come right a bit.
Yeah, it came right late in the day. Barrier one, she's still winning two, but both of runs back. This preparation has been very good. She should be peaking third up. She's obviously raced well at Ellerslie before. She's an on-pace runner, so that gate's going to be very beneficial to her. And she maps to get a nice trip near the speed, so she's a genuine winning hope.
Race number five, Pikey G. This one got under the guard last time. Rotora over the mile gets up to 2,100 metres as a good draw. And maybe some of your hard-earned 12s into 9s already.
Horse I've always really liked, Butch. He's been a bit immature all the way through his preparations, but he's shown a lot of talent on occasions. He was very good at Ellerslie. And if you watch him through the line and past the post, he worked right down to the back back into the straight, and he's a horse I've always wanted to get up to this middle distance trip. I really think it'll suit him tomorrow, and he's a horse I think could progress through to probably a Cups type level over the next season or two. So it's a race I think he's a genuine winning hope and at pretty good odds.
Yeah, she's only had the 11 starts, four of them being winning performances, drawn to get to a nice trip as well, and as I say, he's 12s into 9s already, so it's always the sign. Race number six, one of the other features, the Trelawney Stud Championship Stakes, and you'll be trainer of the month with them if you can get Boss and High Heels home for them earlier. You train a couple here, Investigate, who was knocked from pillar to post late in the race last time, but did well to run second, and Lanakai, who's at big odds.
Yeah, Investigate, he obviously went to a new level last start. He came off a very weak maiden at Taranaki that he won dominantly. It was a good performance. Obviously, he got squeezed up late, but he still picked himself up and closed off the post on the winner late and was good through the line. So, he obviously a nice staying three-year-old at the end of his three-year-old season. And if he holds that form going into tomorrow, then he should be a genuine winning hope, obviously, with Chad's horse not in the race.
And, of course, Lanakai as well. He's been there and thereabouts. An opportunity to get him up over ground in a stakes race towards the end of a prep?
Yeah, he's a horse we thought we may have been able to get to a derby, but again, he's just been a bit immature and probably mentally had done things a little bit wrong in his races, possibly left him a colt a touch too long. A very talented horse. Look, he's been over racing a touch by going forward from wide gates, so a horse we've always thought he'd really suit a middle distance trip, so we'll ride him a lot quieter tomorrow. And look, he's always shown us he's got the ability to win a race like this.
Horse that's come a long way this preparation, Tony, is Rudyard. Look, he's won three of his last five starts. He's won six in total. He's won over $300,000 now. He's got a great record at Ellerslie, loves it there, and at the trip. And he's got to be a genuine winning chance in the Manco Easter.
Yeah, it's a race we targeted for him after his performance in the Crack a Million. Four-year-old race, as you said, he's gone to a completely new level. This become very professional after wanting to do a lot wrong in his races as a younger horse. He's held his form right throughout the season. No reason he won't do it again tomorrow. Another one with a bit of a sticky barrier, but he seems pretty. You can pretty much put him wherever you want in the race. So we'll leave that up to see him tomorrow, and he'll likely roll forward from gate 12. We'll have a fair idea how the track's playing by that stage of the day as well. And as you say, he actually loves Ellerslie, and he's performed up there when there's been rain on the day as well, obviously on Crack a Million side.
Indeed. Mainly form on top of the ground, but he has one on soft going, so that won't count against him. And in the last, you bring Maldini to the races. Gee, it had no luck last time. I thought the win was really, really good the start before, and he'd be a forgive on his last run.
Yeah, for sure. He was dominant, obviously, in the maiden at Tauranga, and just ran into a lot of traffic problems while travelling well at his last start at Pukekohe. So he's a progressive horse. He's taking time to mature as well, but seems to be putting it all together. And with a bit more luck tomorrow, you'd think he'd be a genuine winning hope.
You sneak one down the line, Tony. Dangerous Liaisons, race five at Riccarton Park. Look, she was another that had no luck at resuming. What do we make of her chances at Riccarton in race five?
Yeah, a little bit disappointing there. She went down after Riccarton to have a crack at the stakes race, but was based at Terry Ray's, and she sent me a video on Saturday morning and unfortunately had a foot abscess that that cleared up pretty quickly, so she missed her main target, so we're heading for a consolation prize tomorrow. She's definitely talented enough to take out a South Island Rating 65 race. as you said, no luck fresh up this preparation. And the 1,400 metres round Rickerton should be perfect for her tomorrow. So I'll be surprised if she's not right in the finish.
Righto, what's the best of them, Pikey?
What's the best of them, Butcher? I'm going to stick with Rudyard and Easter. He's just been really consistent all year round. I think he's a good price at $7.
Thank you. Tony Pike there with a big team of runners at Ellerslie. Appreciate your time, Pikey. Good luck.
Cheers, mate.
Tony Pike with us on Breakfast with the Kiwis. Always a pleasure having him on ahead of a race weekend. On the other side of this, we'll have a chat to our next guest, Greg O'Connor, on Breakfast with the Kiwis.
You're listening to Breakfast with the Kiwis. Loveracing.nz, your home of New Zealand thoroughbred racing news, previews, reviews, profiles and more.
Welcome back to Breakfast with the Kiwis. Jordan Canellis here. Butch Castles, as always, our expert guiding you through the weekend of racing. And a big weekend for you, Greg O'Connor, as we welcome you to the program as our next guest on the show. Good morning. How's things?
Morning, Jordan. Yeah, looking forward to the action out of Rickerton Park on Saturday. It'll be slightly different to the previous week where they had a lot of rain and it meant that the track came up. Well, it ended up being heavy, but it was certainly wetter than it's been this calendar year. But, the racing was excellent, and there might be a few form reversals because it's been a drying week, and they might even get pretty close to a good four.
G'day, Greg Butcher here. Let's go through them. We'll start at race six, first of the features, the Daphne Bannon Memorial Great Easter Stakes. Didn't think this was a bad field at all. Gee, the hottie was good last week. Gets the ace draw here, as you say. Different conditions on Saturday, third decree. It's been impressive winning three in a row. Open race, though.
Yeah, very open race. The hottie couldn't have gone any better last week. I'm still expecting a pretty good run from the daughter of Swiss Ace. Third decree's been flying. Gave last week Southern Alps a miss to be set for this one. And Kylie Williams versus Courtney Barnes. It should be a good battle between those two. They won't get it all their own way, though, Butch, because the Radiant one was outstanding last week. The hottie pushed her out of the way, and that was probably the winning of the race. Don't think Tina Kominahi will allow that to happen this time. So at the value, I think the Radiant one, who's trained by the Dennis brothers, they need no introduction to anyone Australasian wide. And they've got a very smart one here out of the Diamond one. I reckon she can upset the other two. So I'm going to plumb for the Radiant one to beat Third Decree in the hottie this week.
Race seven, the first of the quaddy and well-named. Waikato Stud paying tribute to Trevor Luke, such a big part of racing throughout New Zealand for a long time. Gee, I thought it was a good field for to kick off the quaddy as well. Savage was good last week. It's come a long way in a short period of time. And Royal Valor racing well.
Yeah, racing really well, both of those horses. I'm going to go for Divine Sava to beat them, though. Sava Beal, five-year-old mare. Trained by Stephen Marsh, comes out of his Rickerton base and has been second in three of her last five, including the latest performance at Ashburton in behind Sassy Merlot, and just love the way she got to the line that day. Can't see any reason why she won't produce something like her best again. So I reckon on an each-way basis, the mistress is in there for Robbie Patterson as well. The team from Wingatui, O'Brien and Shane Anderton, have Cherryville, their stable, racing well. They won two last week. Turf War, Trey Bond, you're right. If you're having a crack at the quaddie, not the easiest leg.
The New Zealand Bloodstock War Step Stakes culminates a South Island Filly of the Year series. Sees a number of horses backing up out of last week, where we saw Epi Beal being too strong for them and bringing up a wonderful milestone for Michael Pittman that's acknowledged earlier in the day with a race named in honour of him training 2,000 winners. She backs up into this Epi Beal and gets up to 2,000 metres, which you wouldn't think would be a problem. New player to the race, though, Race Ace out of the Fraser or Rett stable up north, and she comes off some very consistent runs, being and also the last one being a very good fifth in the Oaks.
Yeah, look, she's obviously capable of winning this race. Stakes boasted a previous run too. Butcher behind Pultitudinous, who's an outstanding filly, so you'd have to fully respect her. She's got gate one as well. Epi Beal, great last week, great milestone for Michael. You wouldn't think of South Island Racing without thinking of his red and white colours. He trained alongside his son, of course, in Matthew. So she's got a big part to play. No rain ever. Slightly disappointing last week, but she can bounce back. It's Doris has the ability. And one that I spotted running on last week from the Terry Kennedy barn, American Chevelle, American Pharaoh, three-year-old she is, Corey Campbell. The step up to 2,000 metres, not saying that she's probably going to win the race, but top three, top four chance, American Chevelle, $26. You could do worse than have her in your combinations.
Righto, we'll track her in the multiples. Righto, the feature, the Coca-Cola Canterbury Gold Cup, this one at Group 3 level over the 2,000 metres and 120,000 up for grabs. Good field. He's a doozy, heads it after a really good run last time behind Nereus, who goes across to the Mornington Cup. So Matt Scott was very good in winning the Southern Alps Classic, the TAB Southern Alps Classic. Capo del Impero's race well. Time's ticking, always goes well down south, and the Evergreen, perfect scenario at the top of the page.
Yeah, good race, isn't it? Time's ticking, won it last year. Compo del Impero finished second, I think, from memory. He's a doozy. He's a Copeland's winner and is back in great form. Lisa Ladder, Jonathan Riddell, they don't come to Canterbury without performing, and I'm sure he will once again. Love the winner Matt Scott last week. It'll be different at weight for age for him, but he just charged to the line, and so pleased for Sharon Robertson and Alan Reeves and Ross Falloon has been a big part of that stable for a long time. It's a great story, that. And I'm sure he'll go well again, but I'm going to go with time's ticking. I reckon he can win it again. LB McGregor knows his way around a racehorse, and he knows his way around coming to Rickerton and winning. So, yeah, time's ticking each way for me, but a cracking contest on a terrific day, on a track that you know, most horses should appreciate, I would think.
Righto, we're live going into the last leg of the quaddy. What do we need on our ticket? Thought it was, as always, at Rickerton, a pretty tough ask. The last leg of the quaddy, this one a 65 rating race over the 1,800 metres. Did like the way Gentle Ben hit the line last week.
Yeah, very good last week. It's great, isn't it, Butcher? You get to the last leg, you think, oh, I'm just about home. Never at Rickerton. Absolutely never at Rickerton. As many or as much ink as you've got in your pen. Gentle Ben, yes. Gave Lofty's Gift a chance, gave Mayola Miss a big chance, Courtney Barnes riding for Robbie Patterson, and I gave Petrain a chance too. But like I say, load up the pen, or if you're using a pencil, don't break the lead, because you want to keep marking as many as you possibly can.
Yeah, for sure. Righto, what's the best of them at Rickerton Park on the weekend, Greg?
I'm going to go for time sticking. I reckon he can go back-to-back in the Gold Cup. So each way, race 9, number 3.
Thanks for your time. Good luck there presenting on Saturday, and we look forward to catching up again on Breakfast with the Kiwis into the future.
Never a problem. Good on you, Butch.
Greg O'Connor with us here on Breakfast with the Kiwis. Butch, before we close out the show, have you got some of your best bets from across the weekend?
Yeah, I thought there was... Well, it's going to be interesting at Ellerslie. I did, with Pikey, like Rhoda in race 5, thought it was a great price, $12, now into 9, but on an each-way basis was pretty happy to have something on race 5 at Ellerslie, number 3, Rhoda. Thought it was a really even Manco Easter this year. Yes, you've got to have Rudyard on your ticket, which Pikey had as his best of the day, but... A couple of good horses here. Chattahoochee, who's won its last couple. Yes, a big step up in company, but I don't think it'll mind the fact that there is that rain forecast, and Devastate was really good resuming as well. That's not to mention the likes of Provence, Snassy, Tavi, Tavatak at the top. It's a good race, the Manco Easter, but thought Rudyard, yes, but I was going to have something on Chattahoochee as well.
And you've got a vested interest in what's happening in Perth this week, I take it?
No, just, of course, Waitak over there for the New Zealanders. He's in a slot to Entain have got, and he's our railway handicap winner, so he heads across to Perth to take on the Quokka. It's not going to be easy for him. All reports are he's travelled pretty well, and look, he'll give it his best shot. It's a really classy field, and so it should be for the millions of dollars that are up for grabs. But it's certainly a little bit like I Wish I Win in the Everest. Entain have galvanised the support of New Zealand behind the Waitak, and plenty of promotions and the like around him getting the job done on Saturday night.
Butch, a pleasure as always, and we'll catch up again on the program next week.
Thank you.
Butch Castles, the CEO of Waikato Thoroughbred Racing, and thank you very much to Tony Pike and Greg O'Connor, our guests on the program today. If you want to have a listen back to racing, anything to do with Racing New Zealand, you can check us out on the Racing New Zealand podcast channel via sen.com.au, where you can find the Breakfast with the Kiwis programs and all of our past interviews as well. It's all there for you to tune into. Before we close out this edition of Breakfast with the Kiwis, let's get a Ladbrokes update. You can chat with industry racing experts in Ladbrokes communities. Download the app today. Jared Timms with us. Jared, what are you liking around New Zealand this weekend?
Well, Group 1 Racing headlines the program at Ellerslie. Of course, race number 6 is the Trelawney Stud Championship Stakes, and it's a wide-open betting affair here at Ladbrokes. The bookies went up with Moonlight Magic, a $4 market favourite. She's yet to herald much interest at that price. She's actually drifted to $4.20 today. Investigator, $4.60. $7.50 each about Solidify, Rebecca, and Kealoha, and a steady flow of support for Just One as well. $12 into $9. He is the early Ladbrokes market mover. Race 7 is the Group 3 Easter Handicap. It's another wide open one in the Ladbrokes market. We're currently looking at $5 the field, in fact. Province heads the market for Stephen Marsh. It's $5.50 about Snazzy Tabby. $7 Chattahoochee. And there's been at least a sprinkling of interest for quite a few of them here, to be honest. At longer odds, Devastate is the Ladbrokes market mover. $11 into $7.50. Up at Riccarton, the Canterbury Gold Cup at Group 3 level headlines the program. Matt Scott leads the market here at Ladbrokes as well. Currently a $4.50 chance, bidding for a third win in succession. That's it from me today, punters. Hope you enjoy the racing this weekend, and I hope you can back a winner.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Take on the fun and download the Ladbrokes app today. Ladbroke it. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. See you next week on Breakfast with the Kiwis.